Welcome to the Razor's Ink podcast with your host, Jonathan Farine. In case you were wondering what Jonathan was up to the last few weeks, as big a film and TV buff as Jonathan is, it shouldn't surprise anyone that Jonathan spent some time visiting a major studio located in a city that only ranks behind Hollywood and New York in terms of filming locations. And while you may not be familiar with the studio, you definitely know the legendary films which were spawned there. So pour yourself a drink, pull up a chair, and hear Jonathan's take on movies, television, and today, one of the true meccas of filmmaking. Here's your host, Jonathan Farine.
If I asked you in what city, where are most films made? The likely answer is Hollywood. More about this later. If I asked you in what city and studio were Italian films made, with a hint including Fellini, what would you say? Well, look it up. If I asked you the names of the studios responsible for much of the world's most brilliant films made in Britain, could you name the studios? At the time of recording this podcast, I returned from Great Britain, having completed an academic retreat. My bucket list of sights to see included the changing of the guards at St. James Palace. The changing of the guards teared me up, and my native London tour guide remarked he still is thrilled at the sight. Next on my list was standing at the very point where Michael Caine's character, Alfie, stood at the conclusion of the film with a beautiful black and blue skyline and Big Ben lit up in the backdrop. See my podcast about Alfie to understand the significance of the location and color of the skyline. Last on my bucket list was a visit to two of the world's most prestigious film studios, which happened to be about an hour outside of London, in the countryside. And the studios are named Shepperton and Pinewood. As a kid, I consumed movies right through closing credits and fantasized about Shepperton and Pinewood. It was a surreal experience visiting both, and I walked away with the feeling I just toured Buckingham Palace. Hey, I'm a cinephile and remain unapologetic about my zeal. These seminal studios are situated within a bucolic country setting, a strategic advantage, I contend, adding to a calmness of mind for those making film and television at these studios. Like Hollywood, they're surrounded by high fences, razor wire, and canvas to prevent gawkers. But the difference is the fences are almost a century old and covered by aged vines and shrubs. The studios are majestic, just like the historical wonders of London. Shepperton is the oldest, founded in 1931, followed by Pinewood in 1936. The history of these two giants of cinema is marked by sales, interruption of production by the Blitzkrieg of London, and just a lot of deal-making. There's nothing of interest in this transfer of ownership parade, except for me to tell you both studios today are one, the same ownership. During my visit, both studios were very busy, and like Hollywood, have equipment and people moving about and facades of exterior sets resembling anything you can imagine. I'm going to tell you about a fraction of the most legendary films completed within the gates of Shepperton and Pinewood, and invite you to complete your own study of these two studios and their place within the history of film and television. Shepperton Studios is located in Shepperton, Surrey, England, with a history dating back to 1931. It's now part of the Pinewood Studios group. Remember I said same ownership? In 1945, Sir Alexander Korda purchased British Lion Films, including a controlling interest in Shepperton Studios. In my opinion, the most important film completed during this period was The Third Man in 1949, which was shot both at the studio and on location.
Is Mr. Martins engaged on a new book?
Yes. It's a murder story. It's based on fact. It's called The Third Man.
Okay.
it's considered the best British film noir. I have to agree. Hint, the film includes Orson Welles and has one of the finest endings in film history. It's just a long shot of a woman walking down a narrow country road, slowly out of view. Nothing more, with a beautiful soundtrack. Just burning film stock because it's so beautiful. A few more notable films include The Guns of Navarone in 61, Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove in 64, and the musical Oliver in 68, which won the Academy Award for Best Picture. Shepperton's 1970s credits include Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange and Fred Zinnemann's The Day of the Jackal, Richard Donner's The Omen, Franklin Schaffner's The Boys from Brazil, Ridley Scott's Alien, David Lynch's The Elephant Man. Sir Richard Attenborough's Gandhi, and David Lean's A Passage to India. In 2001, Shepperton Studios was sold to the Pinewood Group, which also owns Pinewood Studios in the UK. I'm sorry for being redundant. In July 2019, Netflix announced that it would be opening a hub at the studios, including the addition of approximately 1 million square feet of the new production space, with the overall studio set to comprise 17 sound stages. In February 2022, Amazon Prime Video signed a multi-million pound long deal with the studios for exclusive use of new production facilities. Listen, Netflix and Amazon together should tell you a lot about the significance of Shepperton and Pinewood Studios. Shepperton has 31 stages ranging in size from 3,000 square feet to 30,000 square feet. Five of which are equipped with interior tanks for water and underwater filming. Let's discuss Pinewood. It's located in the village of Ivor Heath. There's a north and south campus. The north campus is obvious as the metal sound stages look vintage, and the north campus is where Hitchcock began making films. The old rusty metal buildings speak loudly about the majestic history of this studio, like watching the changing of the guards. I teared up. Opened in 1936, the studio has been the base for many productions, including the James Bond franchise, beginning with Terrence Young directing Dr. No in 1962.
I need another 1,000.
I admire your courage, Miss...
Trench. Sylvia Trench. I admire your luck, Mr...
Bond. James Bond.
And the Bond franchise continues to be based at the studio since then. On the new South Campus, I saw sleek new sound stages named after Sean Connery and Roger Moore, with many streets named after films. Pinewood utilized the unit system, an American film industry practice enabling several pictures to be filmed simultaneously. At one point in time, Pinewood achieved the highest output of any studio in the world. During the 70s, major films shot at Pinewood include Fiddler on the Roof, Sleuth, The Day of the Jackal, Superman, Superman 2, Alien, and the James Bond films Diamonds Are Forever, Live and Let Die, The Man with the Golden Gun, and The Spy Who Loved Me.
Nobody does it better. Makes me feel sad for.
During the 80s, four more James Bond films were completed on the lot, including For Your Eyes Only, Octopussy, A View to a Kill, and The Living Daylights. Pink Floyd's The Wall, Superman 3, and Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket. Yeah, Kubrick created Vietnam on a backlot in Pinewood in England. Tim Burton's Batman was also produced at Pinewood. In 2019, the Walt Disney Studios announced a 10-year lease of most of the Pinewood Studios. In 2025, Marvel Studios moved their main production servers and offices to Pinewood Studios. Think about the significance of Disney and Marvel moving to Pinewood. That ought to tell you everything you need to know about the significance of this majestic studio. The 007 stage was originally built for the Bond film, The Spy Who Loved Me. It had one of the largest water tanks in Europe. As if cursed, it was destroyed by fire twice and rebuilt with record speed. The stage was used to complete A View to a Kill and Quantum of Solace. And an entire fishing village from Mamma Mia was built on that stage. The 007 stage is the largest stage, coming in at about 59,000 square feet. The studio has 15 other stages, including two TV studios. Being located in the English countryside has its advantages. The studios have acres of backlots where large sets have been built, from castles to whole villages, including the Baker Street set built for Billy Wilder's The Private Life of Sherlock Holmes and Godric's Hollow from the Harry Potter film series. Countryside, including the filming of exterior locations for productions including Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Goldfinger, The Princess Bride, Harry Potter, and The Order of the Phoenix, and Fahrenheit 451. Explore on your own the illustrious history of Shepperton and Pinewood Studios, which begs the question suggested at the beginning of this podcast. Where are movies and television made today? Yes, Hollywood. But my statistics suggest stages are mostly sitting vacant at about 25% occupancy, a terrible statistic about the state of Hollywood and the unemployment of the folks working on Hollywood lots. Why is Hollywood struggling? In my opinion, our state and city political leadership took Hollywood's success for granted, opening the door for individual states offering tax incentives to move production to brand new studios employing local talent. Films are being wooed to shoot internationally where production costs are lower. Bollywood is thriving, as is Chinese production. California has stepped up recently with a new incentive package to keep production in Hollywood, but I think the momentum has shifted and I pray it's not too late. It's called show business for a reason, folks. It's about maximizing profit and minimizing cost, even if it means abandoning the womb of American film, Hollywood. Frankly, I'm disappointed by the many producers of film and television abandoning Hollywood for less expensive production venues. I see it like your mum, English for mom, gives you life, sustenance as you suckle on her breast. She's working two jobs to keep you in clothes and food on the table. You grow up and prosper, and one day your old mum calls and says she ran out of Social Security money and must choose between food or meds, and she's having difficulty making the rent. You say, sorry, Mom, can't help you. The producers will tell you the Hollywood studios are ruthless, rob them blind, so seeking new production facilities outside of Hollywood is justified because they have the right to maximize their profit. My response to them is, Hollywood created the opportunity they enjoy, and instead of a semblance of loyalty, they choose to split. Extremely bad form, the British would say. There's a saying amongst real estate agents in California. Witnessing people flee the state in search of affordable housing and lower costs of living, you can leave, but you'll likely never afford to get back in. This analogy applies to Hollywood. I'm a native Californian and seen this state ride the economic roller coaster for two-thirds of a century. But the malaise in California is self-imposed by poor political leadership. Wake up, voters. Hollywood isn't going anywhere, folks. It remains a magnet for talent in front of and behind the camera. It's just recalibrating for the future, where the biggest studio in the world is called YouTube. Open to all creators and with very little money, throwing up content, hoping to catch eyeballs, including Hollywood studio executives who see YouTube as a test tube for content. The number of followers dictates the likelihood of success or failure. It's much like the old Nielsen rating system in television. When Hollywood rebounds, as I believe it will, given its history, climate, magnet for talent, and real estate developers actually building sound stages on spec, smart money folks, I hope those who fled are priced out of Hollywood. Until I see you next time, please leave behind a soft footprint and class is dismissed.
And to give you an idea of just how prolific Pinewood Studios has been, by the year 2000, more than 1,000 films had been made at Pinewood. For perspective, in 2024, Paramount produced a grand total of just 14 films. And as Jonathan alluded, you add Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel to the lineup? Keep looking over that shoulder, Hollywood. You've been listening to the Razor's Ink podcast with Jonathan Farini. Be sure to check out Jonathan's collection of fiction at the Jonathan B. Farini Story Collection at jonathanfarini.com. Also, look for Jonathan's latest short story, Mind Shaft, in which a troubled young woman meets a lonely retired gold miner in Death Valley. Entering a shuttered gold mine, they become trapped, but discover artifacts revealing important lessons for both. Mineshaft has been published once again, this time in the September edition of CC&D magazine, The Chorus of Silence. You'll find it at scars.tv or drop an email to razorsincpodcast@gmail.com.